I'm so excited to talk to you guys about today's sponsor, Prose. Prose is the custom beauty brand that is all over your feed. I had been wanting to try them for so long. And when I tell you guys that I put on my Instagram story that they were going to be sponsoring the podcast, I got so many genuine organic responses from my following of people being like, oh my God, I love Prose. I've been using it for years. So don't even just take it from me, but take it from the genuine people that reached out agreeing with me about how much they love Prose. And when Prose says custom, they actually mean it. Each and every bottle of Prose custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and beauty goals. One of the coolest parts of the questionnaire that I thought was they literally asked me about my location and my zip code so that they could understand how hard the water is here, what the UV index is like, if it's cold, if it's dry, and all of that goes into these truly personalized products. Prose even did a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised controlled clinical study, aka the gold standard in research studies, and Prose proved that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. So try it for yourself and get your healthiest hair in 30 days or your money back. Prose is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering the Arty Friends listeners an exclusive trial offer so that you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/artyfriends. That's prose.com/artyfriends for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. prose.com/artyfriends.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back to another episode of Arty Friends. This is Kara.
I'm Allison.
And today's episode is pre-recorded. We recorded this ahead of time. We've got some crazy schedules on both our ends these next coming weeks. So we wanted to get ahead of the curve. We actually had a really long interview. We had so many questions. So we are not going to do any recaps, peak of the week this week. But we had an amazing guest who is available now, who are also extremely busy, which you guys will hear about, with launching their own business. They are within their first 6 months of operating and they are growing rapidly. So the timing was perfect. We had to hop on it. And yeah, this episode will come out later. Allison, do you want to tell us a little bit about our guest today?
I will give a little backstory to how I virtually met the Creme Caramel girls. I was in a Clubhouse chat room and one of them was also in the chat room and we were just asking about TikTok tips and tricks. It's a lot of teas. And I went to creep because as she was talking about her French baker, I'm like, who is this girl? She sounds so cool. So like, go look at the Instagram, immediately DM her. And I was like, hey, my friend Karen and I just started a podcast. Would you ever want to come on? And they were like, yes, let's do it. And I was like, jaw on the floor. No way. Okay, let's do it. And that was probably 3 weeks ago. And we were trying to be respectful of their time and keep it to an hour. But Karen and I were saying we probably could have asked them 4 hours worth of questions.
Yeah, it was such an interesting interview. I think talking to people who have also started a business in COVID is just so interesting. Like hearing about what hurdles they've had starting from scratch. Like it was so cool to see into how they've been featured in Vogue and how they did Caroline what's her name? Caroline
Vreeland.
Caroline Vreeland's wedding cake. Like, what the heck? So yeah, I'm excited for you guys to hear. They're super sweet. I feel like I could go get a coffee with them in New York and feel like they're my friends. We're yes. already friends.
We're already friends.
Yes. Yeah. They're so sweet. Like you said, have such a cool story. And yeah, we asked them everything from starting a business from scratch and moving your operations from your friend's apartment kitchen to a commercial kitchen in Soho, sending out PR packages. We talk about everything, and we think you guys are really going to enjoy this interview.
Yes. I think one of the most inspiring things to me is starting and operating a business in your own country. Sounds so hard. I can't even imagine going to a different continent in my second language and starting a business. So just even that there alone is incredible. But we will get into it and let them tell you all about Creme Caramel. Today we have not just one, but two very special guests, Elisa and Alana. One of them is live from New York right now, and one is live from Paris. Kara's in St. Louis, and I'm in Omaha. So just to even get here to this recording took so many moving parts. So we are so excited that it worked out, and we are so happy and thankful to have them. They are the owners of Creme Caramel, is a French bakery located in New York. And we're going to learn a little bit about them individually and then how they came together, and what all the ins and outs of their bakery are like, and the upcoming maybe next 1, 3, and 5 years for them. So it's very nice to meet you ladies.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you guys want to introduce yourselves one at a time really quick?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you can go ahead.
Okay, sure. My name's Alana. I'm one of the co-founders of Creme Caramel, and I'm currently in New York. I've been here for 6 years. I'm originally French, and I grew up in Israel, and I moved to New York to study, where I was working for a couple of years in the art world. And due to the pandemic, we started Creme Caramel. I'll let Ellie introduce herself so we can get more into what we do.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. So I'm Ellie, the other co-founder. I'm originally French, and I've lived in Paris forever. And then I moved to New York to study at Parsons. And I came back to Paris to do my master's in entrepreneurship. And then I came back to New York and studied Creme Caramel with Ilana.
Wow, that is so cool. I'm just absolutely amazed by you ladies and your journey. And it's honestly just begun.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you guys want to give us the background of Creme Caramel and how it came to be?
Yeah, sure. So actually, we both love cooking, and we love the food. We have this passion for food. We actually had that forever, and this is one of the things we shared with Ilana since we met. And so I think we both learned from our grandmother's savoir-faire and like traditions, and we used to cook with them. They teach us how to make their specialty. So we both had our grandmother's cookbooks, and what we wanted with the concept of Creme Caramel is to keep this heritage that we got from them, but like kind of spice it up a little and give it a modern image at the end.
And another part of the concept that we really, you know, thought about when we were creating Creme Caramel is because of the pandemic, we realized that there wasn't a lot of businesses closed in the industry, and we wanted to take advantage of this opportunity and really see what we can make out of it. So the idea that we're an online bakery was really due to the fact that people are not really going out of their way to go to a bakery and sit down for coffee, but rather want that hot bread delivered to their door. So that really was one of the main ideas of how we came to being online. And yeah.
Do you think that without the pandemic that you guys would have pursued trying to open up like a brick and mortar bakery?
Without the pandemic, I think that we wouldn't even be doing Creme Caramel. Maybe in many years, or I think that's what brought us together. We both graduated from our master's in August, this August in 2020. It was a really interesting time to like take a next step in our career. We were both thinking, what is the best path for us? Was it to work in an office and work from home on our laptops, or was it really to take the opportunity and start our own thing? So it was really the best opportunity that was handed to us. People are really excited about these creations. It brings joy during really hard times. And it's difficult to say, but it was a really great thing that happened to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's totally fine to see the silver linings with COVID. Obviously, we all know the horrible things that came out of it. So it's nice to hear positive stories and see how you guys literally grew something from nothing out of that. I think it'd be cool to dive into how you guys met. I know you guys met 5 years ago. Do you guys want to tell that story?
Sure, yeah. So we met at a friend's dinner in New York 5 years ago. We started talking, we started becoming friends, and I was spending this summer in New York because I was doing an internship. And Ilana lived there. So we started to hang out the whole summer and see each other, start cooking on our kitchen, talk about food and all these kinds of things. And then this is how we started. And then when I came back to Paris, every time I went to New York, I called her and we saw each other. So we kept this relationship for a long time, actually. I was like, you know, I graduated and I launched a project in Paris in the restaurant industry. And all the restaurants started to close in Paris. So I told my boyfriend, okay, I'm going to New York with you. I'm going to help you move all your stuff. I'm going to stay a week and I will see what's going to happen in my life. Because I'm like this, like, I love going somewhere and wait for like a sign or something. So I stayed there for the week and I met Ilana. We texted each other like, we have to go to dinner, try this new restaurant, actually. So we went to dinner with our boyfriends and we started talking. And she was like, I was like, I love what you're doing in Instagram. I love your account. I love your recipes. I love everything. So why don't we start doing something together? And I knew inside of me, like really deep inside me, that I wanted to stay in New York with my boyfriend and I didn't want to come back to Paris because of all this COVID situation. So I was like, okay, I'm going to give everything to make it work. And we started doing the working around the concept, trying the recipes. And we were actually looking for jobs together. Like she was looking in a art gallery job and I was applying in the food tech industry. And we told each other, if we don't have our jobs, we're gonna continue doing creme caramel. So we started like this. And when I posted the first picture on Instagram of the marble pound cake, we got a message. And I thought inside of me at this moment, I was like, okay, I'm staying in New York and I want to continue creme caramel because I really believe in this concept. And I think that was the best opportunity that I got in my life. And yeah, I could not be more grateful of what I'm doing today. So yeah, that was amazing.
Wow. That's such a good story. Thankfully that it's Paris and New York, because imagine being from Paris and Alana living anywhere else besides New York. Like, thankfully the food scene in New York is amazing. And I personally would say Paris is better than New York, but at least you can, you know, have two great cities that your boyfriend and your best friend are living in that can convince you to move there. Like, that's an amazing
New York is really the best place to be to start something, just to start a business. You get so much support from people around you. I always tell Elisa, like, we were featured by many influencers and all those people that support us, they're based in New York. And that would be that was the only way that we started growing, was through Instagram and, you know, just being featured on these people's profiles. And we have to send our goods to people. And if they're not around us, we're not shipping nationwide or anything like that. So if that wasn't the case, we wouldn't have such Instagram visibility. So it's so lucky that we get to be in the city, for sure.
Do you want to talk about some of those influencers that reposted you guys? Because I personally have been in love with some of them for ages and I have always followed them. And when I was looking at your guys' featured highlights, I was like, what? They reposted them? Like, you guys have made it. Those accounts are huge in the United States.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we first started, I think it was a month or two into it, I told Elisa, I follow all these influencers on my personal account. For years, I like keep up to date with everything. And so I told Lisa, like, trust me, like, we have to center this. Like, they're probably not going to answer. And it was really just like out of, you know, let's just do it. Why not? We have nothing to lose. And once the first influencer posted us, which was Danielle Bernstein, which was a big first influencer, we realized that was the key to, you know, increasing our followers and getting known in the city. So that was really the start. We realized that marketing, a big part of marketing is influencer marketing.
Yeah. So I have a question. So timeline wise, you guys started this and you just said you realized marketing was a huge part of it. Was that like your very first priority, or did you guys need to figure out your operations, like how you're going to make the food? Can you walk us through like those very first initial steps of starting this?
So yeah, sure. We started in Elena's kitchen at first. We were like trying the recipes. We were taking our first orders. And then we had to move to a bigger kitchen in Soho, which is a professional kitchen. And right now we started increasing our orders with Danielle Bernstein and everything. We started to get known in the city. We wanted to keep it small at first so we'll be able to produce everything. So that was our beginnings. And now we're looking to move to a commercial kitchen, a much more bigger kitchen. And yeah, marketing, I think it's one of the like the main thing we have to think about with Crème Caramel, because everything goes through marketing. We're using Instagram mostly. We're trying to go on TikTok. I'm using also Clubhouse.
Yeah, I also think that there is a lot of people who, a lot of accounts in New York City of, you know, girls who post their baking and sell their baked goods, and the competition is still there. I think what differentiates us is really our marketing, and people are drawn to us when they see the beautiful pictures and see the beautiful packaging and see, you know, all the branding. They're like, okay. It's almost, we started with the attitude, you fake it till you make it, because mm-hmm. like, okay, we can portray ourselves as a real bakery, even though we're just working from our home, and until we are working in a, like, as a real bakery. So it was always that mentality where we'll take on anything, no matter how limited our production space is. So even when we were like asked to do a wedding cake, it was tough because, you know, we don't have all the professional background in wedding cakes, but we said, let's do it. We got this. This is a great opportunity, and it will bring us more wedding cakes. Like, nothing can stop us. We'll, you know, it was always that attitude. And I think part of our marketing is really because of that attitude, where we need to portray ourselves in a certain image so that people take us seriously. And that's why I think marketing comes even before production, because without the brand, we can't produce. We don't have demand.
That's amazing. How would you describe the image that you guys are portraying? What are the values that you guys have with the content you shoot? I would love to hear more about that, with how you guys have framed it. It seems like you're going for like the luxury, you know, kind of image, but I would love to hear how you would describe what your guys' brand image is.
Our packaging is really part of our brand identity. We really want something, as you said, elegant, refined, very French, I would say. I think that it's not something you find easily on the market. I would say that a big, you know, we have a lot of inspiration from big companies like La Durée. We love the simplistic, elegant look. It's people use us for gifts all the times. It's a beautiful gift to someone. You know, it has to look as good. It has to taste as good as it looks, and it has to look as good as it tastes. So I think our packaging and our branding is really a big part of it. We're looking to be just the ideal French elegant bakery in New York City, which before there was Eric Kaiser. I don't know if you know them. They even had like the pain quotidien, where you would go to get bread, but nothing where you can say, okay, I really want to send a package to my friend. She's feeling sick, or somebody, a birthday cake, where it comes like the full package, the beautiful box, the beautiful, you know, wrapping, the sticker, the card, everything. So I think it's a full package purchase.
Everything is very timeless. I think that's just something I love about the French culture and aesthetic is everything French has been in style, I feel like, since the beginning of time. It's just always well done and refined and intentional. And as an American, I feel like we just ooh and awe over that. And so to be able to bring that to New York, I think that adds a huge layer of legitimacy to you guys too, because anyone could say start a French bakery, but unless you're French, it's not really like legit. And so especially in a time of COVID when people can't go to Europe like they would want to, you're like bringing that to them and not even just to the city, like literally to their doorstep, like the way. It's amazing.
I think it's also like the way it tastes, I would say, is very different from American baked goods who would say that they're French. People always tell us, wow, like this isn't like too sweet. Wow, like this isn't like too rich. And I think that's because, you know, my mom always taught me, if you take a recipe from online, always minimize the sugar that you put in it. Always do half of what they say. And it's because that's really what taught me when I bake, is just not to make it too sweet. It doesn't need to be sweet. If the ingredients are good and fresh, it will taste great without all that sugar. So I think that's also a big part of what we our value and how we see our baked goods.
I like that.
That's a good tip. Yeah. I think I need to do that. You're so right. Well, I kind of already do that. Like when I find a recipe online, it's like, add brown sugar, then add maple syrup, then add, I'm like, what? Like, this is so much.
I find a recipe is also here. It's always replace with coconut sugar, replace with this, replace with that. And it's like, it doesn't, just because there's flour or just because there's sugar doesn't mean it's unhealthy. It's all the proportions and it's all, you know, how big of a slice you're going to eat. I don't know. I think you can, what I also liked about our concept is I was also selling savory foods before, just, you know, on my own. And I found that what's great about a bakery is that you use the same ingredients for almost everything. If you know, at least French baked goods, we use butter, flour, sugar, and baking powder, you know, the main. So it's great to be able to just do different creations with the same ingredients.
Yeah, that's so wild. Does a lot of the differentiation come in literally like in the oven process or in like the dough?
It's like you can make so many things with one kind of dough. It's whether you put different fruits or different, you know, it's just, it's always the basic, you know, in France, you have the basic recipes for a pound cake, a tart dough, and a chocolate cake. It's like the basic. And then whatever you create with that is your own imagination, I think.
Oh, really quickly before we get into that. So all of this currently was done in your apartment. And then you guys will take it to people's homes. Is it just you two working? Will you maybe give me a little rundown of like the actual kitchen process?
Yeah, Lisa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we started at Ilana's home. And at the beginning, we were only, it was just the two of us. So we were doing the orders. We were preparing everything, every items. And then we were going to go deliver them to the to people's door. So we were with our package and we wanted to meet our first clients. So we were walking on the streets. We were biking around the city and we were literally like having the bags everywhere in our hand and delivering the people. And that was the best experience of our lives because we got to meet our first clients. We got to go from start to finish the whole process together. We wanted to see everything because we have to do that before we form some other people to do it. So we started like this and then we moved to this kitchen in Soho and we had to hire a delivery guy with a car because we had like all this package and all these fragile items such as the tarts and everything. So it really had to be carried carefully and delivered to people's door. And we still want to keep doing the important deliveries, like, for example, for birthdays or for weddings or baby showers, anything that we still want to carry and, like, take care of. And we also do some deliveries sometimes to surprise people and kind of keep on meeting them, like, the client we love, the client we want to meet, the new clients, everything. We want to have this relationship with our clients because I think this is really important and we want to fidelize them and yeah, this like, you know.
Yeah, when we show up with the delivery and people kind of recognize us. If it's them at the door, they're like, oh, aren't you Ellie? Are you Ela? That's how we, you know, introduce ourselves on Instagram. And we're like, yeah, we know that this is a special, you know, when we do, if it's for a big order or like a special delivery, we want to make sure it's us doing it because you never know. So we're like, yeah, it's a special order. We want to make sure everything is okay. And they appreciate it so much. It's amazing. So if we can do it, why not? I think it's only a plus to be able to meet these people.
Wow. That's so cool. I'm like so nosy about this. So would you like take the subway? You said you rode bikes. Would you, or did you have a car to do this?
No, we were doing in the car. Like we were renting the car all, and then now our delivery guy has a car. But like for close, like for less fragile things, we did with bikes and walked around and, you know, did everything we could.
Yeah.
New York is so big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine biking everywhere and doing all that. Good for you guys. Are there any other challenges you had in the beginning? Like, it's cool to hear that you guys started out, you know, doing everything yourself, being very scrappy. Was there anything else that you were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we did that in the beginning. Like, look how far we've come.
I think it's a lot of things, you know, we had to just do on the spot. For example, we were out of packaging a few times at the beginning because, you know, we didn't expect so many orders all at once and the packaging didn't come in time and we're running all over the city or just like running to go grab like a piece of some butter that we were missing. You know, now we get everything in bulk, but before everything was kind of, we don't know how many orders we're gonna get, and suddenly one influencer post us and we have like 50 orders for the next day and we're like, okay, we have to run to Trader Joe. And it's just, it was like really, we had like our boyfriends and our sister and like my sister and, you know, people we know just help us with deliveries at times. It was really just like a team effort at the beginning. Now, obviously everything is more calculated and we work differently, but it was really an experience at the beginning.
That's like a huge stride though, because it's only been 6 months. You launched October 2020, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we officially, I think it was October and end of September, October.
Yeah. Wow. That's moving very quickly to be able to already have moved to the place in Soho, to have already hired a delivery guy, to have so much worked out. Elisa, you're already back in Paris. Like, how are you doing all of this remotely?
Right now, we closed the Crème Caramel for a week.
Okay.
So I came back to Paris and I'm coming back at the end of the week. So I'm doing like when I'm remotely, like I'm doing the all the marketing part, all the communication, everything, like taking the orders, and we have the delivery guy. So yeah, a lot actually happened in this month. We learned a lot. I remember one Saturday night, we had to cook the entire night. Like we had parties, we wanted to go out, you know? And I remember we had this baby shower and we closed ourselves in the kitchen with the music and we started dancing and like cooking. And it was like one of the best memories I kept from this. And now everything is in place and like we know how to organize ourselves better. So yeah.
You're still having fun with the chaos, with the growing.
Yeah, part of, you know, especially the baking, you don't really realize this when you're not baking, but things have to be ready at 10 a.m. to be delivered to people's doors on Sunday morning. Like people want baked goods in the morning normally, unless it's dessert or whatever. And so we have to wake up really early and just work very different hours than, you know, a normal job. So that was also a challenge to get used to. I think it's a really like interesting field, like to work, you know, from changing from like an office job to just something more physical was a really interesting shift.
What time do you guys usually get up and start baking?
I mean, on the days that, especially Friday, which is our busiest day, we wake up at like 5 and everything, you know, is ready by 10 so that it's delivered, you know, early. We always say deliveries are going to be before noon. You know, it's very hard to like plan out everything and it make everyone happy when you have limited people working for you. So even with our delivery guy, he's like just one guy. So we deliver all over Manhattan and Brooklyn. So it's tough to, you know, have everyone at the same time, but we're slowly, you know, expanding and hopefully it's going to be more on demand the more we grow.
Yeah, you're right. That is a big challenge because so everyone wants it all at the same time. And you're like, well, this would be easier if everyone wanted these all day long, but you have, hundreds of people that want the pastry Friday at 10 a.m.
Exactly.
Wow.
So yeah, making on demand is the hardest, I think, challenge for us at the moment. Because, you know, if somebody decides when they wake up that they want a challah bread, we have to tell them you have to order at least 2 days in advance. You know, we can't, nothing is on demand unless by chance we have extra. So I think that's at the moment the biggest challenge, and why we are refraining from launching the website as soon as possible. Because, you know, once we have a website, people can order whenever they want, and it's not through us anymore where we can have that conversation. Oh, by the way, you have to order 2 days in advance. You know, there's lots of limitations to that.
Yeah, because it's a perishable item. Because like I sell clothing, so it's like, it's fine. You can buy 10 tank tops and they can just sit on the shelf. But with you guys, you're like, no, this has a tiny window that it's fresh and available for you. And yeah, you can't just have it on a whim all the time.
Yeah.
And
if we don't produce a lot, like it's not going to be available right away.
Yeah. So finding that sweet spot between making enough to fill the demand, but not making too much to where you have waste. Do you feel like there was a lot of that at the beginning, over and undershooting?
I don't think at the beginning we actually never made extra because we didn't have that demand. And we had more time to say, okay, oh, today we don't have any orders. We can do it for you for today, but for 4 p.m. And people are like, okay, fine, we'll have it for 4 p.m. But now it's like, we don't have time to make it for 4 p.m. We have orders all day. So, and we have orders for all day tomorrow. So I think it's like having less of that free time to just do it whenever people want. Whenever we do have that little window where we have time, we do make extra for the week where, you know, a lot of things can be made in advance and then cooked last minute. So we try to just like, we're figuring out a system as we go every day.
We learn every day. Yeah. That's the thing.
What would you say your favorite part has been so far? And then the biggest obstacle that you've had to overcome?
The favorite part was, I think, when we started, we kind of did everything as we wanted to do it. Like, we tried the recipes in Eli's kitchen for like weeks. We were cooking together. We were thinking about what we were going to do. We were crossing our grandmother's cookbook. So that was really fun. And I think, yeah, when we started to get reposted by influencers, we started to get more and more people coming into our Instagram account. Like, we started to talk with people. They were asking us like, can I order this? And can I order this? And they were asking us questions about what we were doing. And we kind of felt like, oh my God, people actually love what we're doing. They want to order. They are telling other friends that they should order to Creme Caramel. And we started to get a little bit known in the city and kind of the reference where you can buy a sweet present for a friend or like bring some pastries for morning, weekend, everything. And I think this was the best feeling when you start from nothing and we build the entire process. We get ourselves known. We work hard to like produce beautiful stuff and tasteful things, actually, like because like Ilana is making the best challah breads in all New York City and like the items are amazing. And I'm trying to make them look amazing too on Instagram with the pictures and everything. So we constantly have a lot of fun producing the stuff and then shoot them, take the pictures, try them, set up everything for the shootings. So I think that's the best time we're having in the kitchen. And obviously the obstacles right now are like, we want to grow the business. And I think right now we're thinking about scaling it, and we're going to have a lot of obstacles in a way. So we'll have to think about a bigger kitchen. We have to think about hiring other people to help us. And it's kind of our concept, you know, so it's kind of hard to like go from your concept together, like just the two of us working together and having so much fun to make people learn about what we do and like form them in the kitchen, like actually grow the business. So yeah, it's starting from little, like just the two of us to a bigger system. And like, yeah, we love obstacle. We actually love like having some like stress, rushing out, going to the grocery store at last minute and have to cook for, I don't know, 100 people at the time. We love having that. And we always figure out something. Like if we don't have a solution, we will come up with something. I think that's our state of mind. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I agree. I think the best feeling is somebody saying, oh, I heard of you guys. Like, oh my God, my friend told me about you guys. I can't believe it's you. Like just, you know, people actually knowing us and we're like, how do you even know us? You just don't expect that until someone says it. Oh my God, I follow you on Instagram. It's so funny. So I think that's really the best feeling. And as well, I think we have the best time just creating things, creating, you know, all the pictures. We spend hours like cutting one slice of cake and photographing it. And it's just, we laugh, you know, that's really the best time we have together. And I agree totally with Elisa. The biggest obstacle so far, we're under a lot of stress with like scaling it. And if we don't scale at a certain time, you know, this is the opportunity. Things are going to open up very quickly. We need to, you know, everything is, it's starting to feel like stress where we need to move forward. And it's not, you know, it's not a hobby anymore. And it's a real thing. And we have people working for us and we have a lot of responsibilities just for two people. I think it's getting really tough, but it's a good kind of stress. So as Elisa said, it's what drives us every day to wake up. People ask me, how do you wake up at 5 a.m? Like, how do you even want to do that? And I'm like, how do you go to the club because you want to?
Yeah.
And, you know, need the energy to do that. I don't have the energy to go to the club anymore, but I have the energy to wake up at 5 a.m. So I think it's really, if you have a passion for something, and we both do, it's what drives something be where it is to grow. And every business comes with obstacles. I think it's just how you handle it and the way you view it. You need to have a positive outlook on everything. So
Kara, do you have anything that you want to ask? Sorry, I feel like I was stealing the question spotlight.
No. That's such a great point. And I wanted to ask, so you guys have gotten so many good features through Instagram, through all these major influencers, major publications. Like, what are your next marketing goals? Who do you want to, like, what magazine do you guys want to be in? Or like, what's your next big push? I know you mentioned TikTok. What are your goals with that? Like, how's that going?
Lisa, you
want to?
So we're actually working on all these journalism things, and we were featured in a new French magazine, and we got a lot of demand afterwards. We actually got a lot of followers on Instagram and a lot of people asking us for orders. So for now we're starting to we keeping it small since we have to produce the stuff. But once we're going to scale the business properly, we would love to be featured in magazines such as the New York Magazine or the New York Post or the Times. All of these amazing magazines that we read all the time and that we love. We have already been featured in Vogue, and that I think was the best feeling ever because Vogue is Vogue, you know?
You were featured in Vogue?
Yeah, we were.
What?
Our wedding cake.
Oh my gosh.
Was it Caroline's wedding cake?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Okay, wow. I feel like we should give some context maybe to that because like that was a huge accomplishment in itself. Do you want to dive into that story?
Yeah, Caroline's wedding cake was really an opportunity outside the blue, like outside of nowhere. I don't even know how, you know, basically 2 weeks before her wedding. No, I think even a week. How long? I don't even know. It was 2 weeks before her wedding. She did her wedding last minute. We get a call from her friend who was an influencer we sent stuff to. And
oh my gosh.
Connected us with her. And she said, it's going to be a small cake. Don't worry. It's only 10 people wedding. And I'm like, okay, sure. And I call Caroline and she's like, okay, I want a three to four tier cake. I want it this, this, and that. And I'm like, what? I mean, I was freaking out. I said, I was like, okay, sure. Well, I'll see what I can do. I mean, we have like a two week notice. So like, I don't know if everything's possible, but I'll definitely try to do what you want. So after I hang up, I'm freaking out. And I'm like, okay, I told Elisa, like, why did we do this? Why did we do this? I'm going to cry. And because we knew that it was going to be featured somewhere, we knew it was going to be, we didn't really know all the details. At first, I didn't even know it was for Caroline until we spoke on the phone. I just knew that it was for somebody influential and like popular on Instagram. So I didn't even know it was for her. I just said yes. And that's how we decided to do it, and we managed to do it. She wanted a carrot cake. She was very specific about how she wanted it. She sent us flowers because it was going to be the flowers that she had at her wedding. Sorry.
That's New York City, baby.
in case you miss the city. And so it was really crazy. I think I didn't sleep for like a week because I was so stressed about it. Because I knew that, you know, so I read so many stories. What I do all day if I'm not baking is look at like tutorials of how to do things, like how to bake things, or like read stories about how people make things. And there were so many disaster stories on wedding cakes that I had like the most anxiety just transporting the cake, or like it falling apart when like you put one, because believe it or not, making a wedding cake requires a lot of like science. You have to put like, you have to put certain sticks in certain parts of the cake so that it doesn't fall apart when you put the layers. And it's just all these things we had to learn. But it was great. I think it was a good accomplishment and worth it. And like Elisa said, we want to be hopefully featured on like New York Eater, all these like eating guides, magazine. And I also think that like our, because we did a lot of influencers, obviously it's a great channel to go through. I just think what we're working on next is a lot of collaborations with different companies. And we have a lot of exciting projects coming along that I'm excited for. So there's always something new.
Okay, I have to roll it back slightly to this Caroline thing. If anyone doesn't know, her name is Caroline Vreeland. She's just, she's very quirky and aesthetic, or very quirky and eclectic. But were you happy with how the cake turned out? Do you feel like she liked it? Were you proud?
Yeah, she said, you know, she told me on the phone, like, I don't even like cake, but this is for my husband. And he loves carrot cake. So I was like, okay. And, you know, she texted us after that it was so great and so beautiful and so delicious. And she was really happy with everything. So that was, you know, the best feeling, just getting that feedback. And yeah.
And then Vogue took pictures at her wedding and then they featured you guys.
Yeah. So her whole wedding was featured. And so we were the wedding, the cake. So that was part of it. And they took beautiful pictures. It was great. So she told us after that Vogue would be featuring us in it. That was cool.
Well, it truly goes to show you never know what a PR package or reaching out to someone, giving something to someone for free will do for you. Like, yeah, that is a huge accomplishment from just sending someone a cake or a baked good. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was worth it. I think we always, these people, the best feeling is also when like we send something for free to an influencer or someone and they order from us after. They're like, I loved it. I'm going to order for myself. I'm going to order for this. So I think that shows, you know, that's the best accomplishment.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
Such cool stories.
So much more is going to come. Well, do you guys want to tell us where you see the business in maybe a year and then maybe 5 years? Because I know you said you want to expand. So that's definitely on your horizon.
Yeah, sure. So for now, we want to keep it online for now. We're kind of the online bakery, online French bakery in New York, and people love it. So for now, we want to get ourselves known in the city and start building a community around it. So we'll only have a kitchen and work from a commercial kitchen for a while, I guess, let's say 4 months and maybe a year. We also want to have to start doing some pop-ups around the city. We were thinking about renting a food truck so we don't have to stay in one specific place and we can move around the city and make like everyone taste our products, like something very visual, a food truck that will be like really creme caramel, like elegant, refined, with our logo on it. We really want to have this and like go all around the city and make everyone taste our stuff. And I think in 5 years, maybe, our dream would be to have a storefront with a kitchen inside and produce everything very fresh and like, you know, have hot stuff coming out of the oven and just like starting to place every items on the bakery. That would be our dream. I think if one day I see creme caramel in the New York street, I may be crying. Like I will cry for sure to see all our, like all of the journey we came like from start to finish. That would be an amazing opportunity. So yeah. So I think that would be our, like the next of our journey.
Wow. And what neighborhood in New York do you guys want to be in? Are you Soho girls or what are you thinking?
It's tough because when you see the demand now, like of where people order, it's really, you know, there's a lot of Brooklyn and there's a lot of there's lots of Soho and lots of Upper East Side. We both from just actually we found Brooklyn. We discovered Brooklyn from doing a lot of deliveries there. And I think we both really fell in love with it. I don't know if it would be there, but I love Brooklyn so much now. But, you know, just to see it even in Soho would be cool. It's really, I think New York City is going to change so much in 5 years. It's changed this year. It's going to change this summer. It's really hard to say. But I definitely think that in the next 5 years, part of it will be online. Part of it will be in these luxurious food trucks that you can find in like Central Park or something, or on your way, I don't know, on the Upper East Side. Or there's so many ways to do it. I just think that now our advantage is that we're online. So keep that going, I think.
Yeah, that's huge.
A lease in New York could take you out. Like, that's just so expensive.
Yeah. So with the kitchen, like, we are paying rent with the kitchen already. It's less, but it's more responsibility. You're paying more people to work for you. It's just a lot of expenses that it's not really necessary right now.
Absolutely. For sure. Yeah, I think you guys definitely started the right way, being all online. And like you just said, in a year, either summer could be different, 3 years could be different, 5 years, the world might be totally back open again, and then a brick and mortar will make sense. But
yeah, I think COVID taught us to realize, like, taught us that you have to, like, you never know what's going to happen and try to not plan. You know, a 5-year plan is not really something that you can look into yet. Like, you have to look yearly, monthly, I don't know, but 5 years out of our vision.
Yeah, definitely have to think about that every day and just stick with the basics. And that's something you guys have definitely done, is like, what do we need? What do we, like, what's the bare minimum we need to purchase so that we can make this a successful brand? And yeah, that's something I think people can definitely take from your guys' story. And you can be featured in Vogue and not have a storefront. Like, it's incredible.
I have a follow-up on your guys' educational background, because one of you has your master's in science and one has a master's in entrepreneurship. Do you feel like that was crucial to launching Creme Caramel?
Yeah. So my master's is in technology management. It's a master's of science.
Okay.
So I think that taught me everything about like being an entrepreneur in a way, because the main... It's a weird name for a master's. I don't think it really does it justice, because it's not really... I don't know, people don't understand from it what it is. We basically were taught how to build a business today and using technology to make it better. So we learned how to start a business from start to finish. We created business models. We did presentations like for investors, you know, how would you create a presentation to an investor and what do you need to include? So I think it was really like crucial for me to have that, to be able to start with the mindset of an entrepreneur, how to build a business. And I think Elisa, she can tell you a bit more about her master's, had a very similar journey.
Yeah, it was exactly the same. My master's is actually designed for people who have an idea that they want to create. So you have different profile in the masters. You have like some business people, some people that have done art, medical school, tourism school, anything. And then you have other engineers people. So the master is designed to kind of team up with different people and start a business. So it was really like Ilana, we were always pitching in front of investors. We have to do work on business plans. It was really like from start, like creating the idea to finish when you pitch to investors and you actually want to build the idea. And I did the master's at first to build my first project in the restaurant industry. So it taught me everything. It was really concrete. Everything that I've learned in the master's really helped me in the day-to-day with Creme Caramel. So I think, yeah, doing this kind of studies is really helpful if you want to start a project.
Yeah, I think the degree of entrepreneurship gets looked over a lot because people are like, I don't know what I want to do. Do I want to do art? Do I want to do cooking? Do I want to do this? But doing something more broad, like entrepreneurship, it can help you apply that to any of your interests. I'm kind of rethinking, like, why didn't I do that? That would have been very helpful.
Well, that's amazing. Do you guys have anything you want to add? I feel like we can wrap up with, like, if you have any last thoughts, if you want to plug anything you guys have been working on, plug your socials where we can support and find you guys.
I mean, now you can order from us through our Instagram, Creme Caramel New York, NYC. We are having our website launching very soon and hopefully a pop-up this summer. So keep your ears out for that. Come visit us in New York, you too.
Yes,
we will.
Bet, I'll be there.
So we can maybe meet and, you know, it would also be really nice to have a coffee, all of us. And I would love to hear your guys' stories as well.
Absolutely. I will definitely be back. Allison,
oh,
you
yeah.
too.
We're going. We were talking about going like next week and we're like, okay, maybe it's too soon, but we will definitely come. Out. Maybe it's sync it when you guys have your pop-up.
Yeah. Okay. We'll send you
an invite. That'd be perfect. Wait, I love that idea.
That's great. We'll definitely send out invites.
Yay. Anything else you want to plug? TikTok?
Lisa's gonna do a Clubhouse group. I don't know, you can tell her.
Yeah, on Clubhouse I've started a club named Midnight Baking, where we're gonna have some we're gonna cook all together, and we're gonna have some people coming and talk about their journey in the industry and what they love to cook, and maybe sometimes have some live recipes to follow all together on Clubhouse. So yeah, it's under my name, so Eliza Torgman, and then it's my club, Midnight Baking. So yeah. Can follow us.
That's awesome. Well, we'll link it in the show notes so our listeners can just click on that and join you for that. That's all awesome.
Right. Well, you ladies are outstanding. You're doing great. You're killing it. I'm so excited to see where this takes you. And
thank you for having us here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. It was amazing to meet you guys. And thank you for all your questions and your interest in Creme Caramel. You can come whenever. We'd love to have you.
Well, twist our arm. We'll be right there. No, we'll sample everything for you.
Oh, yeah. If you ever need a taste tester,
yeah,
I got you. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Already Friends. It means the world to us that you are listening, liking, subscribing, and following us on Instagram. We are really trying to build up our rating in Apple Podcasts. So if you could leave a review, we are a review and a rating. We are doing a giveaway at the end of the year for AirPod Pros. So Kara is going to tell you how you can enter that giveaway.
Yes. So to be entered into this giveaway, you need to leave a 5-star rating and review on the Apple Podcast app. Go ahead and click 5-star, write a little snippet about what you're enjoying about the podcast, and then screenshot that and send it to our Instagram at We're Already Friends. That way you'll be entered. We'll see it. And yeah, we're doing the drawing at the end of the year. So again, thank you for your support. It really means the world to us and it lets us keep doing what we're doing.
Yes. Thank you guys so much. We'll catch you next time.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.